Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Girl, I'm bad, 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 bad. Amazing why.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me. We got some good stuff lined up for you straight ahead because Doug Stives is in the building, so to speak. Doug is senior partner with Kirchen & Company, a CPA firm in the beautiful state of New Jersey, over in the Red Bank area, and he is also a professor at a small university that I'll get him to remind me about in just a minute. Many of you over the years have seen his handsome face on television representing the AICPA on sometime around tax time, and he's our good friend Doug Stives. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning. Nice to be with you.
It's good to have you back. What's the name of the school you teach at?
I'm not going to tell you. It's a secret society. Monmouth University.
And I don't know the secret handshake, right? I don't want you to have to kill me or anything.
No, we just have to take you out of the back and beat the heck out of you.
Monmouth University.
That's it.
All right.
We're a little school, about 5,000 people, a mile in from the ocean on the East Coast here. And, not a big deal yet, but we're growing, and we'll have a name for ourselves in another 20 years after I'm dead.
5,000 is not a smaller number of folks there.
Well, for this part of the world, it is. Part of our marketing is we do a lot of private individual attention to people. Our classes are small, and we treat our students mostly like a family, even with that number.
I attended a school like that. I mean, it was about that size, and I loved it.
Well, I love it too. I'm enjoying it thoroughly.
I preferred it to a huge university. Doug, yesterday was the last legal tax filing day for personal income tax. It was the day that was the last day of the six month extension for personal taxes, and you'll be happy to know I got mine out on time and sent them a little checky poo. Actually, a couple of little checky poos to the state and the federal. So here we are on one day later, and when we look at how our tax system is structured right now, since the tax breaks, the tax cuts of 2003, haven't we proven that supply side economics works? Haven't we proven that dynamic scoring works?
Oh, you don't have to convince me. I'm a big believer in that, but I'm sitting here in my home looking at the New York Times, and they certainly wouldn't agree with you and me. They think that that whole group thinks that the more you tax, the better the things are. But I've also enjoyed recently some articles about the fact that the government just doesn't know how to do anything efficiently. So, yeah, I'm a big arguer of let's reduce the taxes even further and put more money into the consumers' pockets. The people we're talking to this morning, if we didn't have to pay so darn much in taxes out of our small businesses, we could grow faster.
Well, I've interviewed small business owners all over the world, and I asked them this one question above all questions. I say, if you had more money if you paid less taxes and you were able to keep that money instead of giving it to the government, what would you do with that money? And instantaneously, in every case, from Rome to Stockholm to Sacramento, instantaneously, every person I've ever asked that question of said, I put it back in my business. They didn't say I'd buy a new car. They didn't say I'd take a trip around the world. They didn't say I'd buy a different house or go shopping or whatever. Every single one without fail said I'd put it back in my business. We've seen that experiment happen since 2003 for sure. I mean, we've clearly had this experiment in the last 4 years where small business owners were allowed to keep some of their money. They put it back in their business. They hire employees. They buy technology. And they've grown their business, and so now we have a $13 trillion economy. And in the process, the government has more money to spend than they've ever had before.
Well, that's the scary part. and more money to waste, not spend. I mean, it's just
What is it the politicians don't like about having more money? Why wouldn't they look at this scenario we have right now and say, you know what, that's a good deal for everybody?
Jim, the politicians have one thing in mind, and that's getting reelected, whatever it takes. And of course, remember, to get reelected, they say, oh, I'm going to do this program and that program, and we're going to make this free, and we're going to subsidize this or that. And they're spending our money, and it's very frustrating as Election Day closes in on us. Remember, the lovely state of New Jersey here, we've just like everybody else, but we seem to get more publicity. We get a bunch of crooks running the place. And
you got a problem there in the state government, don't you?
Well, yeah. What's interesting here this time is some of the local politicians are cutting each other's throats, but we're not hearing too much from the guys at the state level.
Yeah. Hold on to that thought, Doug. We'll take a quick break right back with our good friend Doug Stives right after these messages. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
I ain't got no woman just to call my special friend.
We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Doug Stives, CPA, Certified Public Accountant, and he's a partner with Kirchen & Company. Doug, we're talking about the tax structure of the United States, the way that things are structured right now. I've traveled over the years to Europe and have observed their tax structure over there, and it's pretty ridiculous. We were just in Copenhagen, Denmark, back in June. And if you want to buy an automobile, the tax on that automobile is 150%. Now, that's the tax.
I think that would work over here.
Think about it now. Now, so if you buy a $50,000 car, let's say, your tax would be $75,000 on top of the $50,000.
Right.
Now, that's in addition to income tax, in addition to a 25% VAT tax, in addition to a labor tax, et cetera, et cetera. And those guys are doing everything they can to figure out how to be successful and to be entrepreneurial in that kind of an environment. That was one of the reasons I was over there. They asked me to come over and speak to them about how to become more entrepreneurial. And I told them, well, you got two problems. Number one, you become beholden to this nanny state where the government provides everything, and number two, you if someone fails over in Europe, if you fail in Europe in business, you're branded for life. There's no redemption, basically.
Right. Right. True.
And I said, you've got to realize that you're going to have to take risks. And so I guess what I'm getting at is we got some politicians in the United States who look to Europe and say, boy, we need to get some of that, and those people are trying to get rid of it.
Well, I think there's another philosophy in a lot of the politicians' minds. Not all of them. I just shouldn't chastise all of them. I'm just excited about some of the ones in my area here. But they get this idea that, oh, well, we're going to make it better. We're going to fix it for you. We're going to build you better roads, and we're going to show you how to take better care of your house. So you'd have to give us more of your profit than you're keeping for yourself. And then they just screw it up, to be blunt about it. But the European thing, it's interesting you go there. I mean, the countries you're talking about are socialism. And I don't want that. You don't want that. Most of our listeners don't want that. But by gosh, they'll go down and vote for some of these crooks that are just talking about the government's going to do more and more. Now, every state, we're going to lower taxes. They never do. And we have the highest real estate taxes in our state, I think, of any place in the world. And every one of these guys, oh, we're going to lower your property taxes. And they won't, and they don't. They're lying through their teeth, but people are dumb enough to vote for them. And that's what aggravates me.
Well, what do you know, the Bush tax cuts, mm-hmm. which have done so much to, in my opinion, to build this expansion that we're in right now, that has been so beneficial for small businesses, especially, those expire, they have a sunset, I guess I should say,
yep.
on 2010.
Right, exactly.
And so, you know, there are plenty of politicians out there who don't like tax cuts?
Oh, they're already, you know, building up, and again, I blame a lot of this on the media, that this was a bad thing, and because let's face it, George Bush is not very popular at this point, so they're using that angle to say, well, you know, this fool, this incompetent that you guys put in the White House, all the rich people did, we got to get rid of him, and we got to get rid of his silly, ridiculous tax cuts.
Whatever he did, it's got to be bad.
It's all bad, and the tax cuts were bad. I mean, that's what, turn on television, mm-hmm. read the New York Times, the tax cuts were bad. In fact, we not only have to restore the taxes, we got to come up with some new taxes.
Yeah.
National sales tax, consumption tax.
Are you hearing politicians talking about a national sales tax?
Some of them. Again, most of them are smart enough. When you're running in politics, Jim, you never talk about raising taxes. You let the media do it for you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's their M.O. And I don't think you'll find too many people running saying, I think we should. Of course, what they're doing, to answer your question, is what they're doing is saying, well, we've got to relieve some of the taxes that people have now. It didn't say lower, but then we have to make it up with maybe an alternative tax. And understand, if you and I are paying the alternative minimum tax, and they're going to take that away, but they're going to substitute a consumption or a sales or a VAT tax, a lot of people, again, are foolish enough to think somehow that's good. Well, in all the economies where that's happened, a lot of Eastern European countries, to name a few, the government is getting more than ever. There's more revenue coming to the government, which means, guess what? The consumers are paying more and more and more.
Right. Well, one thing about it that with regard to another tax system, the consumption tax, folks, any kind of a national sales tax or consumption tax or VAT tax, as it can be called, the only way that would work, I don't like the idea, but the only way it would work is if we abolished the 16th Amendment, which gave rise to the income tax. You can't replace the income tax with a VAT tax unless you abolish the 16th Amendment, Doug, because what's going to happen is we're going to wind up ultimately like the Europe, which is that you have both. You have a 25% VAT tax and an income tax.
What I predict is just that. What they will do is they'll tell us we're going to lower the income tax, specifically get rid of the AMT, and to fix the system, quote-unquote, we're going to put in some new tax that nobody would. It'll start off at a very low rate. And I use my own state. We had no income tax for decades. We were proud of it. And they came in, well, we're going to tax dividends and interest at 3%. That's nothing. Well,
yeah.
Now we have the highest tax in the entire country.
As you consider politicians, ladies and gentlemen, to vote for, if you're a small business owner, got to watch out for people who want to raise your taxes because those are the people who want to take away your precious capital. Tintail will be right back with Doug Stein. Stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Check them out when you get a chance. No barrier to entry. The first one, smallbusinessadvocate.com, is our 10-year-old website. It's our flagship, where you can find the show and the articles and archives of Brain Trust members, lots and lots of good stuff there. Subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. Don't forget to do that. Check out our blog, which we update every weekday. Also, our knowledge base, askjim.biz. That's our newer site. That's where you can go to get small business answers right now. Doug Stives is our guest. He's with Kirchin & Company, and that's kirchin.com, right, Doug? CURTCHIN.com, is that right?
That's it. Our website hasn't changed either.
It's better than it used to be, though.
Oh, sure. keep adding stuff to it.
Yep. Hey, Doug, what are some last quarter tax planning tips you got for us?
Well, okay. What people are coming in at this time of year, in fact, my strong advice to people, if you haven't met with your CPA for a while, this is the time to do it. When people come to see us in February or March to have their tax returns prepared, there's not a heck of a lot we can do. So to answer Jim's question is, if you're going to buy some new equipment for your company, a great time to do it. There's something in the tax code called Section 179 that allows you, new this year, to deduct up to $125,000
mm-hmm.
all in one shot. Now, be aware real estate doesn't qualify, and be aware that what we call luxury automobiles don't qualify. You know, a car that weighs less than 6,000 pounds, you can't write that off all in 1 year. Used to be able to do that, but you can't do it as of the last few years. There are some holes there, one that I don't like at all, but I'll talk about it. If you buy an SUV, an SUV that weighs over 6,000 pounds, you can deduct up to $25,000 all in one pop.
Hmm.
I'm not an advocate of those road hogs that eat all kinds of gas, but that's another story. If you need it and use it for your business, good time to buy one. And there are also some of the lots are full of them at this point.
Probably cut a good deal right now, too.
Absolutely. The other thing that I push, yeah, exactly. What I push all the time, of course, is retirement plans. And I know a lot of small business people say, well, I can't afford to put money in a retirement plan. Well, set one up and put $1,000 in it. And remember, you don't have to fund it by December 31st. I just had some people yesterday, the last filing date for 2006, finally come up with the $44,000 limit for last year and put it into their SEP IRA through their small business. They
mm-hmm.
were frankly afraid to do that at the end of last year. They didn't have the money to do it in April,
right.
But their business has done well this year, and they sat down and wrote a check. Their three owners, each of them put $44,000 into their SEP IRAs yesterday, and we filed their 2006 tax returns at the last minute. And remember what that does. You avoid the tax on that, and you experience tax deferred growth
right.
all the years that you work.
But when did they have to set that up?
Well, if you're going to do a KEO plan, which is rare these days, that has to be set up by December 31st. But the SEP IRA plans that we use for most of our small businesses, Jim, you can set that up right up until the time you file your tax return.
So these people really literally created and funded a SEP IRA yesterday?
Exactly, yep.
Wow.
You have to have a pending extension on April 15th.
Right, right.
And to say what I recommend is go open it up now, put $1,000 in it, and then when you get ready to file your extension or your tax return next April, you make a tentative decision, and if you need more time, you can push that all the way until October 15th of 2008.
Right. All right, what else?
Well, I say buy the equipment, do the retirement plans. Also talk to some of your customers. If you're into a long-term contract and you're a cash-basis taxpayer, meaning that you pay tax on money only when it comes in, maybe you talk to your customer about not paying you as much money this year. Now, most people
mm-hmm.
say, well, I need the cash flow. But if you don't, if your checkbook is fat at this point, maybe defer collecting some of that money until 2008. Or if you're selling something, you're selling your business, as a matter of fact, for goodness sake, wait until January. Get a contract, get a deposit, but don't close on that deal until January 2nd of next year. Or if you're going to close on it now, just take a deposit now, turn it into an installment sale, and spread
mm-hmm.
that gain out over the next several years as you're collecting on a mortgage, so to speak. For whatever reason, people don't like to do that, and I'm a huge advocate of that. Or if you're selling a piece of real estate, take advantage of something called Section 1031, which is you can do the like-kind exchange. You can sell a piece of real estate regardless of how much the gain is, and you have essentially 6 months to replace that property by buying other real estate. Might even be
roll that gain into another property and shelter the income a little longer.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
One of the
mm-hmm.
great ways we use that is somebody selling a business property.
Right.
Buy a residence and rent it out for a couple of years and then make
right.
that your retirement home.
You've talked about that before. Hey, Doug, thanks for being here. Good job today. Good job.
Well, nice to hear from you.
Yeah, you too. We'll see you next time.
Thank
Doug
you.
Stives, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. Happy Bosses Day.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.